As Eunice introduced me, my name is Daniel Kim. I serve as an intern pastor here at the Hongdae Omega community. I was born in Korea, actually, and then moved to Melbourne when I was 2 years old. And then now I'm back here and following call to ministry here at New Philly. So it's my privilege to be preaching from the Word of God for you tonight. Let's start by reading the Word. The main passage for tonight is from Psalm 46, verses 8 to 11. So if you have the ESV, please read out nice and loud along with me. If you have another version of the Bible, please feel free to read along with us, but just a little bit more quietly, so we sound unified as we read. Psalm 46, verses 8 to 11. Okay, let's read. On three, one, two, three. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth, breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for just the mighty things you have been doing on the missions field. We thank you, Lord, that you really have been moving in South and North Korea. We thank you, Lord, that you truly love us and you just surround us with your grace every day. And so, Father, I just pray for your wisdom tonight to speak your word in truth. To not seek the praise of man, but just to seek your glory, to give you pleasure as I preach tonight. So just thank you, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. So the first month of the year is almost over. Can you believe it? We've received a lot of insightful, revelatory teachings and exhortations regarding the theme of rest. So tonight I want to just take some time to help you guys process all the different things we've been hearing, just to try and focus it and help us really start this year on the right footing as we really try to live this out, the theme of rest. I'm going to try to just see what God's highlighting for us in the season, and also just to set up a solid theological foundation as we embark on this year of rest. Okay, so I'm just going to start at the beginning. So this is the eighth year since JSEM, Jaesongdo English Ministry, was renamed as New Philadelphia Church. This is the ninth year of Pastor Christian's leadership of this church. And the year of rest is the ninth theme we've had. All right, so if we go back to the beginning, 2008, we had a new fang. So I thought this was a typo when I first read it. I'm sure he means a new thing, right? But no, apparently it's meant to be, though, a new thang. I guess it's like a ghetto thing, from Philadelphia. A new thang. And what this signified, that Pastor Christian, under his leadership, the ministry was entering into a new sort of era. God was doing a new thing in the church. The following year, 2009, the theme was Open Doors. All right, and this was the beginning of New Philadelphia Church. And the theme of Open Doors came from Revelation chapter 3, where God says, for the church of Philadelphia, I'm going to open doors for you that no man can shut. So God's doing a new thing. He's opening doors, beginning this new era of New Philly. 2010, can someone remember? The year of epic faith. That's right. So God had begun this new ministry. He was calling us to something big. He had placed a weighty calling on this ministry. And we needed to have the faith, the epic faith, to really embrace that and to really walk that out. 2011 was the year of intimacy. So not only do we have a lot of weddings that year, but as a community, we were learning to go deeper in our intimacy with God and deeper in our intimacy with each other, right? And when you have intimacy, that leads to growth, multiplication, and increase. So the following year was the year of increase, right? Intimacy, even in a physical way, leads to increase, growth. Hey, let's be real. 2013 was a year of inspiration. That's right. And I feel like this is when our church's forerunner anointing started to come to the fore. It was called out by Pastor Benjamin in 2011, I think, at Niagara. But this is when we really started to step it up, when we started to move and grow in the creative arts, and we really started to take it to the next level as a forerunner church. And then 2014 was a year of wisdom, that's right. And I feel like in order to be a forerunner church, you need a certain level of maturity. You need to be able to really contain the calling that has been placed on you through maturity. You have to be able to responsibly walk it out. So we were beginning to walk it out, to live out the Word of God, to go from just having promises to the promised land. And we saw that with Antioch Center, where we are right now. I just want to pause there and stay on the theme of wisdom for a moment. As you can see, I've tried to draw it out. There's a continuity between the themes. It's like a building block. God's building something in this community. And year by year, He's added onto that. Just because December 31st comes around, it doesn't mean we just forget about the theme. Right? We don't just forget about wisdom, inspiration, intimacy, increase, just because it's 2016. It's all connected together. And so I feel like wisdom is really a key theme, even this year, as we go through the year of rest. And I want to try and draw that out. You know, wisdom is something I think we're still trying to really get. We're still trying to embrace and understand. And I think it still continues to be relevant for us. So, what did we learn in 2014? What is wisdom? Can anyone give me an answer? What is wisdom? Fear of the Lord, right? Proverbs 1, verse 7. Anything else? Is that all we learned? Okay, we'll go with that. Fear of the Lord. just the way I see it, in our society, there are predominantly, commonly, two ways of understanding wisdom. Okay, one view is to see wisdom as knowledge, as eloquence in speech, rhetoric, as philosophy, higher levels of thinking. You know, that is the ancient sort of Greco-Roman understanding of wisdom. And you might say parts of Asian culture hold that understanding of wisdom as well, just knowledge. On the other hand, you have the view of wisdom as skill in living, practical wisdom. Right? We see that found in Jewish cultures and other cultures as well, you know, Africa, other cultures. And when we read about the about wisdom in the Bible, we can really see that it's not just talking about pure knowledge. You know, knowledge, we see that knowledge is just one of the building blocks of wisdom. Okay? So, for example, a person could know all the trivia in the world. Right? They could know all the facts in the world and not know how to do their tax returns, not know how to keep healthy relationships and boundaries, or not even know how to look after themselves. Not talking about anyone here. We would consider them smart, but not wise, right? So, you know, I think that's how one of the things we understood and learned about wisdom in 2014. So 2014 was the year of wisdom, and last year, 2015, was the year of wealth. So we learned that, so from my point of view, what I learned was that wealth is a mindset, not a bank balance. You can give $10 million to a person, but if they don't understand what it means to steward wealth, that money is just going to disappear in 2 years. And that's happened time and time again. Proven fact. Wealth is multifaceted. There's different types of wealth and aspects of wealth. It's not just money. And also, I believe that we learned that God is preparing us to steward great things. And that was a part of the year of wealth for us last year. So basically, we grew in wisdom regarding wealth. That's how you could see it. So again, there's a connection between wisdom and wealth, the two themes. So, 2016 for this year, so far, Pastor Christian has preached about the rested soul and how we have an innate desire for significance and to be loved that only God the Father can satisfy. Pastor Dave Gibbons preached about that to rest in God means to trust in Him, right? To allow Him to bring the growth and for us just to faithfully plant the seeds. And he also gave some great practical tips on how to rest our bodies and our souls. That was great. I've also been listening to the messages from the other campuses as well, end of last year, last week. And yeah, I recommend that you listen to them. They all contain some great reflections on 2015 and also really good sort of vision casting and expectations for this year. So that's what God's been speaking to our community. You know, we've been receiving such powerful insights into rest. And we see that rest, it directly affects the quality of our relationship with God and our practical lives. And I've personally experienced this recently. And I just want to share with you how I've been experiencing the year of rest so far. Is that all right? I'm just going to drink some water. Okay. So the end of last year, beginning of this year, was somewhat ironically very busy for me. Not very restful at all. Technically, it's my semester break from seminary, from studying. But on top of my regular church ministry and office duties, it's the busiest time of missions over the new year for the logistics. We had staff retreat. We had the New Year celebration. Pastor David and Emily's wedding, where I was the best man. And I'm not saying that I was busier than everyone else. Some people I know that I was busier than. Gone, but but it was really a lot to manage, particularly emotionally, because David and Emily were so close to me. So everything, I just had to like deal with the fact that they're leaving. And a year ago, you would have seen a very different Daniel J.S. Kim in this situation. Okay, so back then I was also in a time of transition. You know, just joined staff as intern pastor, just started studying again. And emotionally and spiritually, things were difficult. Even like studying about God was like a burden. It was like this weight that I just couldn't carry. And when I was under pressure, my typical reaction would have been to go home from work or church, order a box of fried chicken, switch on a movie or TV show, and just numb myself to life for about 6 hours. I feel like some people can relate to that. Maybe not in the exact same way, but I feel like we all do this. Like, conviction is filling this place. I would make the excuse that I was resting. But that's not resting. That's self-destructing. You know, even though I would still function on the outside during the day, at church, at the office, studying, on the inside, my health will be deteriorating. My heart would be just really hardening to others. I would be moody, irritable. You know, my roommate can probably testify to that. But praise to God, this season, things have changed. This season, I was more busier than it was last year. But there was grace. Whereas before, I'd wake up around 8:30, crawl out of bed, barely get to work by 9:30. The past 6 weeks, I've actually been waking up pretty consistently between 6 and 7 a.m. Pretty good, right? I've been reading my Bible each morning, praying for the missions teams, making my bed, cleaning my room, you know, vacuuming with a dustbuster, doing chores, and I'm ready for work by 9. People who've discipled me or done accountability with me, they would know that this is pretty big. You know? I'm not one of those like holy people, you know. And it's just the start. I'm not saying like I've done it, I've made it. It's just the start. It's the beginning of going deeper in intimacy with God, just becoming an adult, you know, right? But, you know, let's celebrate each small victory, step by step, right? Let's take it step by step. And just like even applying the messages after David and Emily's wedding, I was just done. I was so spent. So I kind of took the idea of a super rest. I actually did it. No like sound or music or whatnot all afternoon. Went to bed at 8 p.m., woke up the next day. Had all these messages, people trying to contact me. It was great though. I felt so good. Like, it was really worth it. And, like, how did this happen? Pastor Paul Yu in Sydney, on the last Sunday of 2015, he preached a message about growing in grace. And I really attribute the past 6 weeks simply to grace. Of course, each morning I get up and do work. I do something. But what triggered this turnaround, what began this new daily routine, was just an act of grace by God. And I want to share what happened. So for our staff retreat, I was assigned to prepare the food, cooking and ordering food. But also busy with flight ticketing for missions, I didn't end up preparing much. And so on Sunday night before staff retreat on Monday, I stayed late with Daisy and Susie, I think, just preparing. So after church, didn't go home, but until about midnight, we were all there just getting ready for the staff retreat. Next morning, I'm so tired, but I had to wake up and go grocery shopping with Pastor John Park, Pastor JP, and thankfully, like, everything went well. We bought everything we needed, got there, you know, the food prep went okay. First session was really good, but at the end of the night, I was just ready to pass out. I was ready to just go to sleep until maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then get back up ready for the retreat. I ended up sharing a room with Pastor Brock and JP. So we washed up, it's about 11 or 12, and we're just getting ready to sleep. So I shut my eyes, laid in my bed, shut my eyes, ready to sleep, and Lord bless John Park. I just hear this. I hear this snoring. And to be fair, he was actually feeling sick that day, well, during the staff retreat, so you know, I don't blame him. But I just gave up trying to sleep around 6 a.m. and I just got up. Don't worry, God's grace. The next night, JP slept in David Ahn's room, Pastor David Ahn's room. Okay, so I was like, oh, it's me and Brock, yes. Ready for another sleep, another good sleep. Okay, I'm going to sleep this night. I went to sleep. Then my eyes just open up. I look at the clock. It's 6 a.m. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, there's no one snoring. So, you know, I had some work to do with the food prep and whatnot. So I just sort of like, I just sighed. I just got up and just, you know, packed and got ready. But since that day, my life has not been the same. Like, that's when I began waking up at 6 o'clock. Just from that one act, one moment. I didn't even try to get up. It just happened. Grace. My grace. Grace. All right. So the Bible defines wisdom as skill in living. Then logically, the ability to rest, which is a critical aspect of life, is the practice of wisdom. Okay, so if wisdom is being good at living life, then being able to rest means to be wise. It means that you're living out wisdom, practicing wisdom. So when we not only understand, but also live out a life of rest, that's when we begin walking in wisdom. Okay, so making that connection there. And as we mentioned before, if we believe that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, then I want to submit to you tonight that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of rest. Okay? I feel that this is the core, the heart, the essence of the theme of rest. This should be the starting point for us this year. Before we dive into thinking about taking super rests and thinking about my ultradian cycles at work and managing my energy levels and worrying about when my next overseas vacation will be so I can rest. Before all that, first, let us go deep into the truth that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of rest. Thank you, Brock. Rest is not about doing less. Right, Pastor Dave Gibbons made that clear. He told us that rest is actually a very active and consuming activity. Rest is not about being lazy and neglecting your responsibilities. I already did that with the fried chicken. Didn't help. Right? Rest is not just to do with your physical well-being. Physically, you can be fine. Yet your soul will not be at rest. Rest is about, first and foremost, your spiritual state of being. Rest begins when you first acknowledge God as Lord. I feel like last year, even the whole point of the Shemitah, the whole point of the Shemitah in the Bible is not about the collapse of the American economy. It is not about converting your wealth into gold and hedging against future economic collapse and inflation. For the Jews back then and for us today, the truth remains. The point of rest is to make space in our lives to acknowledge our true King. So for the remainder of this message, I want to just dig deeper into this connection between rest and acknowledging God. All right, so let's look at the Bible for that. First passage I have, I just want to quote a few passages. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. So Proverbs 19, verse 23. The second one, Psalm chapter 62, verse 5. NIV version says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him." Psalm 62, verse 5. Okay? And in today's passage, Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." So I want to take some time to focus on this verse. And for us to properly understand it, I feel like we need to understand the context of the whole psalm. So I'm just going to quickly go over Psalm 46, just what David was writing. And then we'll look deeper into verse 10. So in verses 1 to 3, you can just look through as I explain. David says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." So the word present has an alternative translation called well-proved. So God has demonstrated time and time again that he will help us in our times of trouble. Right, and talks about the earth giving way, mountains moving into the heart of the sea, waters roaring and foaming. So when the world shakes around us, we know we will not fear, because we know that God is our refuge, God is our strength, and God is a well-proven help in trouble. We know that he will be there. Moving on to the second part, verses 4 to 7. It talks about a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, some commentators believe that this refers to a stream that ran through the city, right? Some think it's called Siloam. This river, this stream, supplied Jerusalem with water even during times of siege. So when the enemy surrounded the city, trying to starve them and force them to surrender, this river would always provide water so that they would not go thirsty. So even when Jerusalem is surrounded, God provides for her. She will not be moved. Right? God provides for you even when you are surrounded by your enemies. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. And David says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And that name, the Lord of hosts, is a name for God that emphasizes his power, his dominion over the earth, over the world. Okay, and finally, the last section of this psalm, verses 8 to 11. You know, it talks about God breaking the military power of the nations, of the unbelieving nations. And he makes war cease, he breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the chariot. And then it says, our key verse, "Be still and know that I am God." The word "be still" means to cease striving. Just to let it fall. To relax. Okay? My memory of this verse, actually, where I heard it a lot, it came from St. David's Uniting Church in Newtown, Melbourne. So I was in high school. My dad was the pastor at that church. Mostly old grandmothers and grandfathers. So for 8 years, before we began every service, Lydia, my sister, hello, and I would be sitting in church. But back then, we weren't really, like, in love with Jesus, so we just would be sitting in church like that. And then the organ would play. And then all the grandmas and grandpas would start singing. I gotta do this. They'll start singing. "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." So that's how I know this verse. But let's just look at the context. Who is God talking to here? I mean, he could be talking to the pagan nations. He could be talking to the Israelites, his people. You know, what he says probably applies to everyone, regardless. But it's not this little sweet line of a hymn. He's not saying, be still and know that I am God. No, it's a command. It's a declaration. Be still and know that I am God. I just destroyed your armies. Now just stand there and acknowledge me as your king. Right? They should change how they sing that song. Right? You know, our stillness. He commands the stillness of the world so that he may be exalted, that he may be glorified. This is what he's saying here. Just stop. Stop striving. I am to be exalted. So despite being surrounded by his enemies, despite being even betrayed by his own son, David holds on to this truth. That is why he's writing his psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's saying, this is our God. This is my God. This is our protector. There's other examples, like Job. Even the Israelites, when they're escaping Egypt, where it is when they stand still, it is when they rest, it is when they be silent and begin to acknowledge God's power, who God is, to stop questioning him, demanding answers, but just acknowledge him as the Almighty Creator. That is when they begin to find rest and peace in their souls. I want to just finish with a story about Jesus, right? Because you've got to talk about Jesus. There's a story where Jesus also commands silence. It comes from Mark 4, verses 35 to 41, also mentioned in the other Gospels. It's where Jesus calms a storm. After a long day of speaking in parables, Jesus, he takes the disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The other side, whenever you see the Bible say the other side of the Galilee Sea, it means that they're going over to the Gentile side. So not the Jewish side, but the other side, right? Probably because they can rest. Like no one really knows Jesus over there, right? They just need to rest. It's been so much talking about parables and healings and stuff. So as they sail across, suddenly a storm sweeps across the sea. And the boat starts to fill with water. They could potentially sink. But you know, Jesus was super tired from doing all this ministry. So he was taking a super rest at the front of the boat. He was sleeping. He was out of it. And you know the story, the disciples are freaking out. They're waking up Jesus saying, how can you just sleep? We're going to die. Wake up, wake up. And Jesus wakes up. I think he's probably a little bit annoyed. You know, like you can imagine. Not necessarily just because he got woken up, but just seeing their state of panic. Like, are you my disciples? Like, did I teach you to be like this? You know? And so he just gets up. Rebukes the wind, says to the sea, peace, be still. And then everything goes quiet. Well, we've heard this story a lot of times if you grew up in church. He questions the faith of the disciples. You have little faith. And then the disciples are amazed by this act, this miracle. And they ask each other, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, the most basic purpose or understanding of this story is to demonstrate Jesus' power over the forces of nature and marking him as the prophesied Messiah. But I feel like if we look at the context, so what follows, this will add another layer of meaning to that. So if you go to the next chapter, chapter 5, Jesus and his disciples arrive at the other side, and there they deliver a man possessed by a legion of evil spirits, the demoniac. A biblical scholar whose name is D.A. Carson, so he's like the John Piper of biblical scholars, he comments that the language Jesus used to rebuke the sea in chapter 4, be still, which in the Greek is pephimoso, it has the meaning to muzzle, to rebuke, or to silence. So he's essentially saying, be silent, be quiet. Right, it's similar to what he says when he casts out demons in the other stories. So Jesus rebuking the storm not only points to his command over the forces of nature, but it also indicates his command over the kingdom of darkness and his command over the troubles and difficulties in our lives. You know, we do not wage war against flesh and blood, but against the principalities in the spiritual realm. And Jesus has complete command over that realm. In this community, we've already seen a lot this year. We have a lot of people going through periods of major transitions in their lives. You know, whether you just joined staff as an intern pastor, whether you're in between jobs, thinking of a career change. And recently, we've also experienced two significant deaths within our wider community. We're growing up. This is a part of life. This is what it means to mature. It means we're going to experience these kind of things. So for some people, they might be thinking, rest? What rest are you talking about? I couldn't be further from the place of rest. Pastor John, he preached last week that our praise is not contingent on our circumstances. We don't just praise when we feel good. So neither should our state of rest be. The Word of God tells us that rest is connected to your acknowledgement of God's sovereignty over your life and his sovereignty over this world. Whether you're going through turmoil or whether everything's really great in your life, when you acknowledge God, then you will have rest in your soul. Having said that, sometimes this lesson can only be learned through opposition and difficulty. Sometimes we just need to go through those seasons just to learn that lesson, to learn how to rest. So even if you're feeling good right now, when trouble comes into your life, when difficulty comes into your life, you need to understand that this is an opportunity to grow in your ability to rest in Him. Okay, if it happens, how are you going to respond? Are you going to order a box of chicken like I did? Are you going to be like the old Daniel, 2014/15 Daniel? Or are you going to respond like King David? You're going to respond like Job? You need to begin by first turning to Him. So for those of you who are struggling with fears and anxieties, going through transition in your lives, friends leaving to Melbourne, you might be in between jobs, considering a new career, you might face opposition in your workplace, in your families, you might be wrestling with things emotionally, spiritually, Jesus says this to you, be still, cease striving. Stand firm. Be silent. Know that I am God, that I am the one who will cast down the kingdom of darkness and who can calm the storms in your life. there is grace. In Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said to his people, "Be still, stand firm, and look on your salvation. Watch God deliver you. It's not about you doing anything. It's not about you striving. It's about you letting God first initiate and do the work, and then you follow. You walk through the Red Sea." So if we can hold on to that truth, that the Lord of hosts is with us, that the God of Jacob is our fortress, that Jesus died to set us free, then we will not fear, we will not be moved, and we will not be shaken. So I just want to take some time just to pray for some people.